Do you remember when you were a child, Mary, if you did something really stupid, you got cracked over the back of the head and go, ow! You know, it's not meant to hurt you. It's just meant to let you know that you're a freaking idiot. And this is something I believe should be employed in political chambers, chambers of commerce, the business roundtable. Somebody says something ridiculously stupid, like we're going to help the economy and improve jobs by getting the country into massive amounts of debt. Whoosh, ow, ow, you know, right, I'm sorry. Right, this is something that should be employed. Okay, it should be policy. And speaking of policy, it's back on Sean Plunkett. Has he ever been to Europe, I wonder? And while he was in Europe, was he walking around in Berlin, Gay Paris, or Moscow, or any of these other wonderful, advanced, and cultured cities, thinking to himself, man, they're all fluoride nutters. None of them want fluoride in the water. You know, Kerry Woodham, I called up Kerry Woodham, and she said, well, look at what happens to the teeth of people who don't have fluoride in the water. And I went, what, like Europe?
Yeah.
The whole continent?
Yeah. It's so ignorant, isn't it?
They're just so dumb. And it's like over-educated. It's like they've been educated to the point where ignorance is the standard. It's like they've got a bachelor's in stupidity, okay? And they're very proud of it, and they're still paying off the debt.
Yeah, that's right. So Anna Goodwin, the oncologist, she was on national radio the other day. Did you hear that?
No.
She was on the Jim Mora show, and the other two panelists that he had that afternoon were Brian Edwards and Michelle Bogue. You know, that she was that National Party, what do you call it, coordinators or something? You know what I mean by National Party?
Stooge, trollop, what?
Campaign
manager, campaign National Party manager. President.
She was either National Party president or National Party campaign manager. But she was definitely part of the National Party. I can remember her a few years ago. And we all know who Brian Edwards is. And anyway, so Brian Edwards was really good, and he said that, you know, it's a personal choice and that it's outrageous that a medication should be put in the drinking water. But Michelle Bogue, she just about had a fit, sort of yelling down at Anna Goodwin that, where's the proof? Where's the proof? Show me the proof. Show me someone who's been harmed by fluoride. But the thing is when we do show them someone who's been harmed by fluoride, they say, oh, that's just anecdotal. You can't prove it. There's a man in Lower Hutt called Stephen Hiscock, and he was sick for about 5 years, I think. And he finally twigged on that it was a fluoride, started getting his water from Petone, unfluorinated, and he's become well again. But we went to the Hutt City Council, and there was a medical officer of health there called Stephen Palmer. And when Stephen Palmer got up after Stephen Hiscock, he says, oh, well, you know, a lot of these things can be in people's head, you know. That's what he said to the councillors about Stephen Hiscock telling them his story about having been sick for so long, you know. And this is what happens. They just deny it anyway. So I did see Michelle Bogue, Stephen Hiscock's story, because that was actually in the Herald on Sunday, a couple of months ago, and a whole lot of other stuff, you know. Whether or not she'll read it.
They won't. And this is part of the cognitive dissonance. I remember when I used to suffer from cognitive dissonance when I was learning things about the world. I learned that the police weren't honest people in one of the worst possible ways you could imagine. And that was really tough to deal with. And many other things that I'd previously held believer. Like, Mary, I don't know about you, but I used to be a big establishment supporter. I loved it. I thought the police were honest. I thought the politicians told the truth. I thought that health policy actually saved more lives than it killed. And to get over it was like, for the first time in my life, admitting that I don't know everything. more to the point, admitting not only to myself, but to everybody else that I really didn't know anything, and that all my opinions were based on BS. And there were many times when I had, you know, been like in the fetal position, you know, I'd cried, I'd rage fits and so on and so forth, until I got over myself, essentially. And that's what these people have to do as well. Getting over cognitive dissonance is really about getting over yourself.
Yeah, I think it's like growing up. It's a part of that growing up process. Because I think it's like, you know, when you're a kid and you think, you know, when I grow up, I'm going to do this and do that, and I'm going to live happily ever after, sort of thing. You know, I used to think when I was a child that I would grow up, you know, and there would be this magical age, and then I would live happily ever after from then on. Do you know what I mean? And then you grow up and you realise that life isn't that easy. You don't become an adult and everything's easy and like Mary Poppins or something, you know. There's always challenges. You know, no matter how old you are, there's always challenges. And so then I think the other part is realising the sort of things you're saying, is that's another part of growing up, when we realise these institutions aren't like we thought that they were. But when you still believe that, yeah, everybody's safe, everybody's honest, and everybody, you know, the Ministry of Health are there to help us, and nobody ever lies, and all the rest of it. It's living in a child's world, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Grow the frack up.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Can it not be put in simpler terms than that? If you're pro-fluoride, you're still a child and you need to grow up. Okay, I'm sorry. The truth hurts. Trust me. I know. I've heard a lot of truth in my life. And it really, really, really does hurt. So if you feel angry or in some sense inflamed or enraged by the statement, that's good. Because at some base level, you're getting it.
At the when I very first heard that there could be something wrong with fluoride was probably when John Calhoun was around. You know, it was probably the early 80s. And I was only quite young, I'll say in my teens. So I wasn't really that interested, but I'd sort of heard that there was something going on. And then I remember reading this headline on the Dominion, I would have been the Evening Post, and it said, Ministry of Health says fluoridation is safe. And I thought, oh, thank goodness for that. Oh, that, you know, that makes me feel better. Because I didn't want to believe that the Ministry of Health could be wrong. Because even then I realised if they were wrong about that, that's a really serious thing that they're wrong about. You can't afford to be wrong about adding a medication to a drinking water. So, but the thing was I thought that because it was in the newspaper and because the Ministry of Health said it, I thought that meant it was the truth. And I think there must be a whole lot of other people that are still like that. But I was only like 17 or something, so I could kind of forgive myself, you know, for being so naive. Shouldn't be thinking that, you know, when you're an adult.
Mm. You know, it's a sad state of affairs when those who are the least intelligent and the most brainwashed are the ones who have the most sway on the airwaves. But here's the thing, and just use myself as an example here. I can't really think of any other examples off the top of my head. I've got more subscribers to my YouTube channel than the New Zealand Herald does.
That's amazing, eh?
More than TV3 News. More than John Campbell. More than every single mainstream media news outlet that has a YouTube channel in this country. More than all the radio stations, more than all the TV shows, more than entire channels. You know how I can do that? It's because I don't give up. I don't listen to people who tell me that I'm wrong and have no evidence. I'll hear them, but I don't listen because I know. I don't just feel. I know because I've seen the documents that they're wrong and they're talking out of their ass. And I think that I'm one of a growing minority who understands unequivocally that we as a society have been lied to for a very long time, and that to educate ourselves is not only to ingest more information, it's actually to override and let go of all the lies that trickle down like fluoridated water.
So true.
Well, thank you, Mary, for this topical discussion. No pun intended. And do you have any final statements?
I think actually just going back to what you've said is that one of my favourite singer-songwriters over the years has been Billy Bray, an English folk political singer. And he had a good quote, which was the worst things that we're suffering now is cynicism and apathy. You know, and that is really what the problem is, you know, because if people weren't so cynical, I mean, mind you, I can't understand it. It's not like I can't understand why people are cynical. I definitely understand it. And so apathetic, we wouldn't have fluoridation and we wouldn't have a whole lot of other things going on. But people feel like they can't be bothered because what's the use? They don't listen. And you're cynical about them. But if we could get over those two things, the cynicism and the apathy, then I think that's the way forward. You know, because there's more of us than them. There's much more of us. Did you see that thing in Stuff yesterday? And it was about this questionnaire they were giving these people about redundancy at the Department of Conservation. Did you see that?
No.
Oh my God, it was just outrageous. There's some psychoanalysis or something, and it's this questionnaire, and it has questions like, so they're looking at making people redundant, right? So they had 140 people, they want to make 70 redundant, and part of, you know, sifting out who they wanted was this questionnaire with about 100 questions, and they had things like, do you like opera? Do you think that the universe is all-knowing? Do you suffer from indigestion? And what on earth have these things got to do with their job? Absolutely nothing. And then, like someone was saying from the union or something, you know, like, why would liking opera mean that you were good at your job as a safety person or whatever? And she said, but then maybe that wasn't the right answer. Maybe the right answer was, if you liked opera, you see, maybe you were seen as elitist or something. But the thing was, is that only one person decided just to resign and not do it. But why didn't everybody just say, I'm not doing this survey? No way. If they all just said they weren't doing it, then they wouldn't have been able to voice that on them. But people didn't realise their power in the numbers. They all got scared of their jobs and they all went and did it. You know what I mean? But if everybody just realised the power of numbers, they could have all just said, no way, we're not doing that.
You know, Mary, I hear what you're saying, but I disagree to an extent, because I believe power is not necessarily in numbers, unless the numbers are small. It wasn't the majority of Hamiltonians that turned out and did submissions. Less than 2,000 people, right? And less than 200 people actually giving voice submissions.
Yeah.
It's not currently millions of New Zealanders that are currently in Parliament controlling the gears and working the levers like the Wizard of Oz, is it? It's a little over 100 people, isn't it? People don't need to necessarily know the power of numbers. People need to know the power of the individual. Now, in terms of those, that one individual who quit, that's the only one individual that really mattered in that company. all of the rest of them, they went into public school from day one, and were told that they're very special. And incidentally, also told to obey authority figures without question.
Why do you think
they call it psychoanalysis? You know, it's because you're being analyzed by psychos, you know. and why do you think they call it the criminal justice system?
Yeah.
Because it's just criminal. You know, you can't be apathetic without being pathetic. You can't be cynical without being a sinner.
Yeah.
But hey, as the Terminator said in Terminator 3, your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
True. Okay, buddy.
Mary Byrne from fans.org.nz. That's fanz.org.nz. Is that the actual correct website? Because I've gotten that wrong.
That's fine.
Okay, good. Otherwise, I'd kick myself. Rather hard. Mary.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, buddy.
I applaud everything that you do.
Likewise.
And I can't wait until until the great all-seeing eye of Sauron, known as fans.org.nz, points its steely gaze towards Auckland to get the frickin' fluoride out of my water. But I'm not going to allow you to fight this fight alone. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah, no, there's quite a lot of Aucklanders getting involved, actually.
Exactly.
It's really good. It's really good.
All right, and you need to foster these kind of movements, allow them to grow organically, and to not let apathy and cynicism take over. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I got teased a lot in high school, and trust me, it can make you hate everybody else. All right.
Well, the Aucklanders did really well last week with organising the doctors and dentists event at Freeman's Bay. You know, they got out there on the sides of the street handing out, you know, thousands of flyers and things. They did a lot of work to get that going. So that was excellent. You know, they definitely weren't suffering from cynicism or apathy.
Exactly. All right.
Okay, I'll see you later then.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, bye-bye.